Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 this morning. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, Matthew chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. But we want to continue to worship the Lord. By the way, if you don't open God's Word, you haven't really worshiped. Amen. You don't sound convinced. Amen. If you don't open the Bible and see what God has to say and honor Him through His Word, you haven't really worshiped. Amen. Worship flows through the truth of the Word of God. And so we're going to study this morning Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. If you're able to stand up, and some of you have been sitting a while, you might go like this. Maybe a little to the side if you need to, stretch a little. But we appreciate that those specials and song this morning and the reading of the scriptures. But today we've been studying the last few weeks about Emmanuel, God with us. And the title of the message this morning is simply Jesus. Matthew 1 verse 18, the word of God says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we have this time to come and to celebrate our Savior's birth. Thank you not only for the birth of Jesus, but for his life, his death, his burial, and resurrection. And I pray, Lord, today that as we study about you, who you are, and what you've done for us, that it would just move and stir our hearts and our spirits, that we might be revived in our spirits to love you more and live for you better. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision for you to be saved, if they've never been born again, that today would be the day they'd repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on you, receive the gift of everlasting life. And for those who have that gift, Lord, I pray that we would live our lives faithfully for you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are. Thank you for all that you've done for us and for all that you're going to do. And Lord, I pray that you bless your word now and help me, for I'm nothing without you. Convict our hearts and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, it's easy sometimes to just kind of get in a rut, if you will, or get to where you just go through the motions. And sometimes Christmas can just become just the thing we go through every year, and we let some of the stuff of the holiday. I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing to kill the holiday spirit like a trip to Walmart. Amen. You know, and there's busyness, even though it's the Christmas season. There's still all the things that you normally have to do. You have to work. You have to take care of the house and the kids. And there's still bills to pay and all that stuff. And then the added stress of buying gifts and trying to get things ready for going to see family or for family coming to your house. And sometimes you could just let all that get you down. And there was one dad who kind of sensed that things were kind of getting that way. And so he got the family together. So we're going to have a family meeting. He brought everybody together and he began to talk to them about how important Christmas is and keeping it about the main thing and remembering that Jesus is the reason for the season, and just really giving his family a pep talk. You know, let's stay positive. Let's be happy. Let's celebrate this thing and just have a great Christmas, he said. And he kind of ended his pep talk with this. He said, "Let's just make this the best Christmas ever." And got them all excited, except his little boy looked up and said, "Well, Dad, I just don't know that how we could ever do any better or improve on the first Christmas." And the reality is, any Christmas we have that's great is going to be because of the first Christmas. Amen. The greatest Christmas of all. The birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we read about it right here in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And and the Word of God says, this is the way it went down. This is how it happened. This is how the birth of our Savior came about. But this morning, as we learn about Jesus, I just want to focus in on three verses. We're going to look closely at verse 20, verse 21, and verse 23 this morning. And notice with me, first of all, that Jesus was holy. We see His purity. His purity. In verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So we know Joseph and Mary were espoused, they were betrothed, and this engagement would have been a lot more in-depth than engagements are today. It wasn't just a ring and a promise. It was a contract that had already been made. It just hadn't been consummated yet. And all of a sudden, Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. She's with child. He hasn't been with her, and she's got a baby on the way. And so he could have made it a public deal. He could have shamed her publicly. As a matter of fact, he could have had her killed under the law. But he was a just man. And he cared about Mary, and he didn't want to ruin her reputation any more than it already would be. And so he was going to keep this thing quiet. He was going to take care of this privately. And while he was thinking on this, God sent an angel and gave him a vision in a dream and said, don't be afraid to take Mary. Don't be afraid of the shame it's going to bring. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen, because the child that she is carrying is of the Holy Ghost. This child that was conceived in Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's because of that fact that Jesus could be the Savior of the world. Amen. Jesus could never be our Savior if He was born of a man. If He was born of a man, He'd have His own sin to deal with. Remember, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. But Jesus didn't get that death and sin passed on to Him, because He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus and His purity. Now, I want you to think about purity and holiness for a minute. This idea of holiness, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Son of God, His holiness is best defined to me by this. Holiness means the absolute lack of anything sinful. We think about it today. How many of you like to use something called Purell or something like that? There's some of you, I'm looking for your hands because I know it should be up. Okay, maybe you like Germex or whatever, but you like that stuff. And when we use this stuff called Purell, and if you read on the bottle, it's pretty neat because it kills 99.9% of germs and bacteria and all that other stuff, right? You'll notice that about all kinds of stuff. If you use those Clorox wipes or Lysol spray, and I don't know how it is at your house, but if anybody comes down with a stomach bug, that stuff comes out in force. I mean, everything gets Lysol, Clorox, and Purell on a regular basis. And that's okay with me because I am not a fan of the stomach bug. Amen. As a matter of fact, if you got it, you can just keep it to yourself. But you'll notice on all of those things, it all is 99.9%. Because there is nothing that anybody on this planet could do to make the promise that it's 100% every time. But I want you to know something about Jesus. Jesus wasn't 99.9% pure. He was 100% pure. You know what that means? There wasn't any sin in Him at all. Jesus never even had a wicked thought. He never backtalked His mama. He never did anything wrong whatsoever. And I want you to know something. There are people today that want to attack the Lord. They want to say that Jesus... there's just all kinds of horrible accusations against our Savior. I want you to know this. By the authority of the Word of God, He was 100% pure and holy. Hebrews 7:26 says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This great high priest is Jesus Christ. And did you hear what He said? He became us. This great high priest became one of us. He became a human being, and he was holy, completely without sin. And if that's not enough, he was harmless. He never did anything to hurt anybody. He was undefiled. There was no defilement in him or about him at all. And he was separate from sinners. He became one of us, but he never was like us completely because he never sinned. And he was made higher than the heavens and is higher than the heavens today. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ became sin. He took on the sin of the whole world. He took on the punishment for our sin, but he knew no sin. He, not only did he not commit any, he didn't even know any. He didn't even think it. He was never sinful in any way whatsoever. But he became sin for us to pay for our sin debt so that we could have his righteousness. And I don't know about you, but I desperately need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. The Word of God says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I want you to remember, you remember when Satan came before the Lord and made accusation against Job? And he said, and God said, "Have you considered Job, my servant, how he's upright in his heart and he has his integrity and he's good?" And Satan's like, "Well, yeah, you got a hedge about him. You won't let me touch him." But I want you to think about Jesus. The Bible says right here that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. Listen, Satan could throw whatever accusation he wants to against Jesus, and Jesus can stand against it all. Amen. There was no fault in him at all. Amen. Holy. Look at this one with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. First Peter chapter 2. And verse 21. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Jesus Christ never sinned. There was no guile found in his mouth. He was holy because he was born of the Holy Ghost. But he wasn't just born holy, he lived holy. He didn't just live holy, he spoke holy. And he thought holy, and he was holy in every part of his being. And yet in it all, he took on your sin and my sin when he died on Calvary's cross. Did you hear it? Verse 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." His purity, and number two, his purpose. You see, he was sinless, and because he was sinless, he could be our Savior. Verse 21, back in our text, Matthew 1, 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." His name is Jesus, and his purpose was to come to save us. Jesus Christ was born to save us. Some of you might remember a story from back in 1988. There's a young lady named Anissa Alaya. She was 16 years old and diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. And the doctor said that if she didn't receive a bone marrow transplant, she would definitely die. And so her parents decided to have another child. They couldn't find a match for her anywhere. They decided to have another child to see if by any chance her bone marrow would match. And that little baby was born, and Marissa Ayala was 14 months old. They took some of her marrow and gave it to her big sister, and it saved her life. She was born to save. I love that story, and what a great thing. And Yada, they've done documentaries and stories about them, but man, what a great thing to know. How much do you think Marissa or Alyssa loves her little sister? How thankful do you think she is for that little girl who was born just to save her life? Who, I mean, she knows without any doubt, if that little girl hadn't been born, she wouldn't be alive today. Well, how much more should we be thankful for Jesus? Amen. Listen, if that little baby hadn't been born, we would all be dead in our trespasses and sins. How thankful should we be for Jesus? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. It means Savior or Deliverer, because his purpose was to come and to save. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you and I, friends, we're what was lost. The souls of men and women and boys and girls the world over, that's what was lost. And Jesus, his purpose was to come and to save us. In Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And in 1 John 4:14, the Bible says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus came with a purpose. That little babe was born in that lowly manger for one purpose, and it was to be the Savior of all mankind. He had a purpose. He was always focused on his purpose. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He was always focused on doing the Father's will. Well, what was the Father's will? The Father sent him to be the Savior of the world. I love what it said in verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And I remember studying that years ago, and I've always just kind of looked at that and thought, well, his people, he came to save Israel, and you know, the gospel is to the Jew first and to the Greek also, but I want you to know something. His people are those who believe in him by faith. I am his people. Because when I was 14 years old, I repented of my sins. I trusted Christ as my Savior. He gave me everlasting life and made me his child, and I became part of his kingdom. And I am his people. It's not just to the Jews. It's not just to Israel. It's to all who believe he can be your Savior. If you'll believe, he will be your Savior. His purity, his purpose, and number three, his power. Look down at verse 23. It's the verse we've been studying the last few weeks. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now the angel came to Joseph and he said, listen, don't be afraid. You go ahead and marry this young lady. You go ahead and go through with this because the child she's carrying is of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, all this stuff's going on to fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah gave almost 800 years ago. This prophecy that was given that there would be a virgin that would be with child and would bring forth a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel. And I want you to just try to wrap your mind around this for a second. Here's Joseph. He's getting married. He's probably pretty excited about that. And now all of a sudden she turns up pregnant. He's probably not really excited about that. And all of a sudden he has a vision from an angel of God. And he says, no, go ahead and go through with it. Because what's happening to you right now, Joseph, is the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. Now, you make no mistake about it. He had studied the scriptures. He had been to the synagogues. He had been to the temple. He had heard the word of God. He had heard the prophecy. He had probably listened to it read. And all of a sudden, this angel comes down and says, you know that stuff you've been learning about that Isaiah told? You know that stuff that's hundreds of years old? That's what's happening right now. And can you imagine? Wow. Just as a side note, when you read your Bible and you watch the news, it kind of seems like God says, the stuff you're seeing right now, that's to fulfill the prophecy that I gave you. Anybody else feel like that? Why? God's promises always come true. God's prophecies always get fulfilled. And the things that Isaiah said, they happen right there in Joseph's time. And by the way, there's a lot of stuff that Isaiah said that's yet to be fulfilled. And it'll happen in God's time just like it happened in that time. Listen, but what I want to focus on in verse 23 is this. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I've belabored this the last couple of weeks and talked to you about how Jesus, last week we studied how he is the Son of God, how he is, was, and always will be God. But let me just share with you a few verses to reinforce that today. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Jesus Christ is God. He was robed in human flesh, and he has all power. He is the Son of the Highest. And we've studied on Sunday nights the last few weeks. Listen, when Jesus made the claim and said, I'm the Son of God, they understood something. He's claiming to be equal with God. And you know what? That's exactly what the angel was telling Mary in Luke 1. This child you're going to bear, he's going to be God. As the Son of the Highest, he is the Highest. He's going to give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And let me tell you, countless kingdoms have risen and fallen on the world. And many more are rising today while others are falling. I just got to tell you, it breaks my heart to look at the United States of America and to just feel our nation begin to fall. It breaks my heart. But this nation isn't intended to be forever. There's one nation that will last forever. Amen. And it is the nation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a physical place on the planet. It's his kingdom that's in the hearts of those who believe. It's his kingdom that is his presence and power and reign that will last forever and ever. Amen. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto his church, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And some of you have heard that verse, the Great Commission, so many times it just kind of loses its effect on you. But just get this, that lowly babe that was born in a manger, he had all power in heaven and in earth. He had it before he came down to the manger. He had it when he was laying in the manger. He always had it, and he always will have it. All power belongs to Jesus Christ. Listen, when we come here to celebrate Jesus, when we worship him, when we strive to know him and live for him, we're not just living for some God or something or some religion or some... No, we are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of all creation. Listen, I know Jesus is our friend. He's made us friends because he loves us. But never lose sight of who he really is. He is Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Matthew 19 and verse 26. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know what Jesus was talking about? He was talking about a rich man getting saved. I love it that when Jesus taught about how nothing's impossible for God, the thing he was talking about wasn't the creation of the world. It wasn't the moving of mountains. It wasn't the building up or tearing down of nations and kingdoms. He was talking about the saving of one soul. It's hard for a rich man to be saved, but it's not impossible. Amen. Because God can do anything. Amen. He can even save poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked sinners. Amen. Like me. Amen. Jesus came in purity. He came with a purpose, and he came with power. And friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, he has the power to save you today. Amen. You know, I pray with all my heart that we can keep our focus on what it ought to be this Christmas. I love this time of year. I do. I'm just going to go ahead and confess to you. I love the spiritual. I love celebrating our Savior. I like the other stuff too. Amen. I like those other Christmas songs too. I've been known to sing Jingle Bells year-round. I like the trees and the lights and the decorations, and I'm not gonna lie to you. I kind of like getting presents. Amen. I love giving them. Amen. I like getting them too. I like all the stuff about Christmas. Amen. But I'm gonna tell you, it's easy to lose focus on what this is really all about. And in the midst of it all, I pray that everybody in this room knows the Lord as their personal Savior and will worship Him as Savior this Christmas. I want to close with this. I read somebody has taken 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter about charity, and they kind of came up with a Christmas version. And let me give this to you as we close today as kind of an encouragement to keep your focus on what it needs to be this Christmas. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but do not have love, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not have love, I'm just another cook. If I work at a soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I've missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love does not envy another's home that it has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love does not yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful they are there to be in the way. Love does not give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Toys will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure forever. Let's get ready for an invitation. Would you stand with me, please? How can we have love at Christmas? Because of Jesus, who came in purity, with a purpose, and with power. And dear friend, he has the power to save you today. He has the power to change you today. And if you know him, you ought to love him. And if you love him, you ought to show that love to others all the time, but especially at this time. If he's convicted your heart about anything, there's a decision you need to make, something you need to get right with the Lord, maybe just want to come and get on your knees and give thanks for Jesus, whatever it is, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, would you come right now?
Page 563.
Number 563. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this morning. Anything you need to get right with the Lord, would you come? Do you know Him? Is He your Savior? If He is your Savior, are you making Him known to others?